Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 63, Trials and Tribulations. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Yeah, Power Pros.
And we are back once again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. To be honest, this past week has been a little bit slow. There haven't been any major new announcements, but still, we've got some stuff to talk about. We've got some news, we've got some game impressions, and we've got our big topic this week, which is a little something we're calling Then and Now. We're going to compare some major franchises and see whether they were better now or better back in ye olden days.
Ooh, them's fighting words.
But before we get to that, let's kick it off with some game impressions. Specifically, I'm going to start with the latest Ace Attorney game, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Spirit of Justice.
Yeah, I know this one was one you were really looking forward to, especially because you were playing it in Japanese.
Well, this one I did not play in Japanese, although I did download the Japanese demo.
Ah.
I downloaded the Japanese demo, I downloaded the English demo, and now the final game is out in North America exclusively as a downloadable title through the eShop. And yeah, I've been spending quite a few hours with the game since it came out last Thursday. And in general, it's the same sort of thing that people have come to expect from the series. It's got a lot of point-and-click style investigating. See, point-and-click, see what I did there?
Yes.
Points with his finger. Mm-hmm. But you're exploring crime scenes, and then you're going into court, and you're listening to testimonies, and you are finding contradictions and pointing out the lies. And, of course, it's always lots of fun to point out the lies. And this time, there are even more lies to point out, because in addition to just testimonies, you have these seance scenes where they show you the victim's last moments before death, and so you have to point out contradictions in these scenes as well, and point out problems with what they're seeing, or maybe what they're smelling, or what they're hearing, and pointing out these contradictions in all the other senses. And once again, it's got a lot of great characters, lots of interesting characters, a lot of compelling mysteries. You never quite know where things are going, but you're dying to find out. And sometimes you're like, oh, I think I figured it out, and then sometimes you don't quite know. But I would say it's another good entry in the series. If you like previous Ace Attorney games, you are probably going to enjoy this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't enjoyed previous ones, I don't know if this one is necessarily going to change your mind, but certainly it's got all the pieces in place. It's got pretty high production values for a 3DS game. It's got excellent writing, really good character models, really good music, good voice acting. It's a very, very well-made game.
Is this have a Native American flavor to it, I thought? Is that right?
Native American? No, not at all.
Where does,
it is set in a foreign country called Kurayan.
Okay.
And that ties into some of the characters' backstory of how Maya is a spirit medium.
Ah.
And apparently that technique originated in this country of Kurayan. It's a fictional Asian country, but it's sort of somewhere near India and the Himalayas, and it does play a major factor in the game because it's all tied to this country's culture and sort of their backstory and tradition of religious fanaticism. And so in some ways it feels really modern and contemporary. This Ace Attorney game is hitting on these really relevant themes. And it's not really something I would expect from this series, because usually it's pretty lighthearted, despite being all about, murder and death and like that. But within that context, they usually aren't tackling important social issues like this. And they don't do it, super heavy-handed or anything so far. I mean, I'm probably only about halfway through the game or 60% through or something like that. So who knows where it goes. But so far, it's not like it's, slapping you in the face with whatever it's trying to say. I'm not really sure what the overall message is going to be. But I do find it very interesting that they've decided to tackle a topic like this in an Ace Attorney title.
So are you surprised this series hasn't made the leap to the console? Why do you think this works so well as a handheld game? Because it feels like it could be bigger.
I don't know. I mean, given the style of the gameplay, it is kind of like a visual novel in some sense. It's a lot deeper than a visual novel. But I think to bring that up to what people expect from console, I think would take a lot more effort and a lot more money probably than Capcom mm-hmm. would really want to invest. I think as a handheld game, as a 3DS game, I think it works really, really well, and it has like top-notch production values for 3DS. But if you want to put it on console, you know, it that would change everything. You'd need to invest way, way, way more than I think it would be necessarily worth for them to get that back out of the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy with it staying the way it is. Of course, there have been console versions. They did port the first three Ace Attorney games over to WiiWare, so you can play it that way if you want. But of course, they just kept it, you know, basically original GBA DS quality visuals. You know what that's like. But yeah, I've really been enjoying the game so far. I do have one complaint, though. And that is that they've made it harder to do the voice commands. And that's something I've always really liked about Ace Attorney. For some reason, I just find it really fun to shout into the microphone and say, objection, or take that, to point out the lies and, you know, just throw your evidence in your enemy's faces. And let me tell you, in this game, the bad guys, with all their fanaticism and stuff and their holier-than-thou attitudes, you really, really want to punch them in the face. They're like these super jerk bad guy characters, and hopefully some of them will be redeemed by the end. But, oh man, they're just so smug. And I'm saying that as a good thing in the game's favor, is that they've managed to write these characters. You just want to, oh, just smack them upside the head and teach them a lesson. But no, the only way I can do it is by, you know, showing them up in court. But back to what I was saying about these voice commands is that it used to be done just by hitting the Y button. You'd hold down Y, that would activate the microphone, and you could issue your voice command at the appropriate time. But now they've taken it away from the Y button, put it on the touch screen, and so you have to hit this touch screen button anytime you want to do it. There's a little bit of a delay before it activates, and then after that, you can say, hold it, or objection, or whatever, and make it work. And so it's still there, and I definitely appreciate that, especially, you know, on a crowded subway car or something, so a bunch of strangers think I'm totally out of my mind yelling, hold it, into my 3DS. But before, you know, it was just the Y button, so easy. Now it's touchscreen, a little delay. So it's not the end of the world, but it is a little bit of an annoyance to me. And I wish you could have just, you know, swapped the buttons, because now the Y button opens up the text log. So if you missed a line of dialogue, you can hit Y and be like, okay, that's what that line is. But how often do I do that? Not very often. On the other hand, I'm constantly using the voice commands, but maybe that's just me. I think most people aren't as quite enthusiastic about yelling out loud in their 3DSs as I am.
How's the voice acting?
So far, no complaints. Seems pretty solid. There's not a ton of voice acting. Most of the game is not voiced. It's only in a few key cutscenes. And then, of course, the things like objection and hold it. And that's all fine. So, yeah, no complaints there. No objections, I would say.
I'm out. That's it. See you later.
So, yeah, so far so good. Seems like another fine entry in the series. And there's more DLC on the way, and I'm looking forward to that, too. So, yeah, at this point in time, I would give it a hearty recommendation.
I have nothing to say to that.
After hearing all this, is there any chance you're going to pick this one up?
I don't think so. I've played a half of one of these games, and maybe that disqualifies me from being on this podcast, but yeah, I can't get into it. It's too much reading and not enough actually playing of a game. I'm more into platformers and pushing buttons and not into reading walls of text to get to the next part of the story.
Well, you are missing out, I tell you. You are missing out.
Where's that skip button?
Yeah, it does have that too. You can fast forward through the text, but you...
you're going to lose the game, won't. I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to do it very... You're going to be a little confused, I think.
Exactly.
If you hold down B and fast forward through everything. But that option is in there if you just want to, you know, speed through everything.
Yeah.
But really, the writing and the dialogue is where all the charm is, so I don't know why you'd want to miss that anyway. But speaking of Ace Attorney, there's some news about the anime. As you are probably very aware, Scott, the anime has been running on Crunchyroll.
Yes, I am aware.
And now, thanks to the new Crunchyroll-Funimation partnership, it looks like it's going to get an English dub and then be published on physical media, on DVD or Blu-ray.
That is exciting news. That is super cool, because I think that opens it up to a much broader audience. I hate to be that guy, but, you know, in the anime, the characters' names are, you know, not Phoenix Wright. It's, you know...
Right. I mean, not Wright.
I don't even know how to pronounce his name, but yeah, the... it's the same story and the same characters, but the Japanese names don't correlate, so that could be a turnoff for some fans of the series. So having it mm-hmm. with the English names and characters, I think that's awesome. And it's going to keep, you know, the same, obviously the same story, and you're just going to mm-hmm. pick up more casuals that way.
Yeah, the anime is very, very true to the stories of the games. That's something I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. And there also is an alternate subtitled version, but you can't, you can only view that on the PC. You can't view it through the app on your PlayStation or whatever, which is what I usually use to watch the Crunchyroll stuff. So I can't get it with the actual familiar English names. So hopefully the dub is good. That's the only thing that you know, I'm hopeful for is that, you know, if it's a poopy dub, then that would be very disappointing. But hopefully it's really good. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, it'll be nice to be able to have this in the collection and not have to just stream it and be able to watch it off a disc in my permanent collection. Yep. So I'm very happy about that.
And I just remembered Phoenix Wright's name in Japanese, and I'm going to butcher this. I think it's Narahoro Ryuchi.
That sounds right to me. I wasn't even going to try it. Did you see what I did there? It sounds right to me.
Well, Ryuchi is actually Japanese for the word correct. So there you go.
There are many a pun in all the names. In fact, Ace Attorney 6, Spirit of Justice, so many punny names. If you don't like puns, you will not like this game. Consider that a warning. All right, then. Moving on to another long-running and popular third-party franchise on Nintendo platforms. There was some news about the latest Harvest Moon game, which is coming out in the near future for 3DS. That's Harvest Moon Sky Tree Village. And surprisingly, there is a limited edition coming out. Harvest Moon's been around for like more than 20 years, and I think this is the first time there's ever been a limited edition or collector's edition or anything like that coming out.
So what's in it?
It's going to include the game itself, of course, a 44-page art book, a soundtrack, a set of 6 lapel pins, and then a blue feather keychain, the blue feather being a very significant item in the Harvest Moon series. And it's going to be selling for $49.99, and it's being sold through NIS America's online store, even though that Natsume is still the publisher.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. This long-running series is finally getting a nice, fairly robust collector's edition like that. Do you have any interest in this?
For that price, I would say almost definitely. And I'm not even a person who plays these Harvest Moon games, but holy cow, $50. Because the average 3DS game is $40, and
it's only $10 more than the regular game.
$10, you're getting probably what looks like at least $20 worth of value. Think that's a great deal. I think that's a no-brainer. If you're going to buy this game, I think you have to get that special edition. You have to. It's $10.
Yeah, seems pretty cool.
And the box is really cool looking. And again, I'm not a Harvest Moon fan, so this would be my first Harvest Moon game. I'm a little scared because it looks like Farmville. Tell me why I should buy this, Chris.
This was the thing that introduced farming to the video game masses. This was what made farming video games cool. Before there was Farmville, there was Harvest Moon. So between Harvest Moon and Story of Seasons, you are finding the original farming video games. This is where, you know, Farmville and all those things got their inspiration. It's not for everyone, but, you know, it has a long storied history that, you know, was before all these other farming games. And that's why I'm so excited to see it finally getting a collector's edition like this.
So whereas like Animal Crossing is geared towards a younger audience, is this also geared towards a younger audience? Or do you think this is a everyone can play type thing?
I mean, it depends on the type of player you are. Certainly, it's, you know, it appeals to younger players, but I think it also appeals to older players as well that you know, just want to do something that's a little bit more relaxing and offers a different kind of challenge. It's not challenging because of your timing or because of, you know, the patterns that you're facing or anything like that. But it's something that's you know, proceeds a little bit more leisurely. It's a little more relaxing and but there's still a lot of stuff to do. Anyway, I haven't really played a whole lot of this new latest edition. still very excited about this new offering.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm also very excited about the latest update for Shovel Knight.
Yeah, this is the game that keeps on giving. Like, I don't...
Yes.
I mean, most developers would have made this either DLC or it would have been a whole extra game and you would have just had to pay.
Well, it is DLC.
It is DLC. Okay, it is DLC. I do have to pay for this. No, it's free, right?
Well, no, it's free because it was a stretch goal when they did this whole thing through Kickstarter.
Insane. I can't believe
it. So, yeah, it may have taken a while.
Do you think they're even making a profit on this game at this point, putting all these extra features?
Well, people seem to keep buying it. And, you know, of course, it was all promised through stretch goals. That's how we got the Plague Knight campaign. And now we are getting the Spectre of Torment campaign. And, of course, we've known about this stuff for a long time. There's also a King Knight campaign. But what came out over the last few days is, you know, the official title is Shovel Knight Spectre of Torment, where you play as Spectre Knight. And we found out that it's coming in spring 2017. And we found out that it's going to launch alongside another stretch goal bonus mode, which is going to either be the multiplayer battle mode or the gender swap mode. They haven't said which one yet. I guess they're still deciding. And the other one's going to come out alongside the King Knight campaign. But it's cool to hear that the stuff is all still in the works. And it's cool to hear that it's got a release window of next spring.
I love it. I don't know. I don't even know how they're going to make Spectre Knight work as a playable character because he flies and it's a platformer. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious to see how that mechanic plays out in the game because it's going to be the same levels, just you're playing as Spectre Knight. So, yeah, we'll see.
Right.
And he summons zombies from the ground and he throws his sickle like a boomerang kind of. So I'm guessing those mechanics are in there. Hopefully you can summon the zombies. I think that would be really neat. I don't know what that would be useful for, but I'm hoping you're not cruising through the game just flying like Super Mario with his cape, but we'll see.
Probably not. I'm sure they'll do something very fun and compelling. Mm-hmm. They made Plague Knight work really well, so I'm sure that Spectre Knight's going to be really, really cool also. And it'll be fun finding out more.
Yeah, if you don't have Shovel Knight on your 3DS, I beg you, put it on your 3D.
Or your
Wii U. But honestly, it's a great portable title. And it looks great in 3D. Very simple 3D, but it looks really nice.
It's excellent on both systems, really. So as I said, that's not coming out until sometime next year. But coming out much sooner than that is a new Nintendo 3DS XL system based on Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon. It's coming out on October 28th. For $200. Scott, have you seen this? Do you have any interest in this?
I don't have any interest in it. My shame is, and of course, I'm not even going to ask you how many 3DSs you own, but my shame is I own three 3DSs and I have purchased four 3DSs and I gave one to my nephew. So I gave my OG 3DS to my nephew. So yeah. I'm not buying another 3DS unless they add some wacky new feature that I can't live without. Tell me how many 3DSs you own, Christopher Hoffman.
Well, I did just buy that new Nintendo 3DS non-XL.
Yeah.
It came with the Mario faceplates, but I haven't had a chance to hook it up and do my system transfer yet. So I've got that, I've got my original 3DS, my Japanese one, and then my new 3DS XL. So yes, I am guilty of having multiple 3DS systems. And so I'm probably not going to pick this one up either, but you have to admit, it does look pretty cool.
It does look
A black system with these white line drawings of Solgaleo and Lunala, those being the new legendary Pokemon from Sun and Moon.
It's a lot more understated than, you know, previous designs. Not calling any of them out, but...
Yeah, it's pretty classy, I would say. It's fairly neat. I do like it. And it's hitting a few weeks before the actual game's due. So I guess it's for, you know, if you somehow aren't on the 3DS bandwagon yet, you know, get your system, load it up with stuff, start enjoying what's out there, and then boom, the new Sun and Moon are going to hit just a little bit later in November. And then on top of that in Pokemon news, we've got Pokemon Generations. That is a new series of animated shorts, right?
Yeah, they just put a trailer up and it looks really mm-hmm. good. It looks compelling. It looks like it's not made for children. It looks like it's made for the children who grew up with Pokemon and now are in their 20s and 30s. We've gotten old.
Yeah, perhaps so, or perhaps it's for, you know, new players who aren't that familiar with some of the aspects of the older games, because I think that's sort of the idea, is that it lets you re-experience, or perhaps experience for the first time, key moments from the past Pokemon games, like going through all the previous, you know, generations of mainline Pokemon games, find out, you know, what happened in Red and Blue and Gold and Silver, and all these previous titles that, you know, perhaps you weren't around to experience. So now you'll get to see these moments in these animated shorts. Supposedly they're only going to be like, you know, 5 minutes long each.
I wish they were longer, but, you know, I'll take what I can get.
Do you generally watch the Pokemon anime?
I don't. Do you?
No, I'm not.
far. So I was in college when the first Pokemon game came out. So, yeah, it's hard because, you know, there's a lot of young people around me playing Pokemon and really loving this franchise. And it just, I was just not born at the right time for this franchise.
But for some reason, this one has captured your attention.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they're doing this and putting it for free on YouTube. 5 minute episodes, filling you in on the backstory that you either might have missed or that you want to relive. So it's very respectful of the franchise, and I think that's cool. I think that's great, and it really harkens back to, it's, you know, it's not about the anime, it's about the game that we all grew up playing, or that mm-hmm. you all grew up playing, not me.
Yeah, it does seem pretty cool.
And speaking of games that maybe I grew up with and maybe that you didn't grow up with, the new console was released recently. That's right, a new console.
New console.
And it's,
the NX?
It is not the NX. It is a Nintendo console, quote unquote.
The NES Classic?
It is not the NES Classic. I dare say this is better than the NES Classic, believe it or not.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, hold on to your hats. So,
tell me.
So this company called Retro USB, they're best known for making USB controllers mm-hmm. based on Nintendo controllers. So there's a Super Nintendo controller and the, you know, it's Super Nintendo controller. On the other end is a USB plug. And there's also an NES controller, same thing, USB plug. Well, they got the bright idea to basically create an NES on a chip and stick it in a plastic case. And it's a Nintendo Entertainment System that plays games in HD, in 720p HD. So it's got an HDMI port on the back. It's, for all intents and purposes, an NES with a cartridge slot. So you need an NES cart to play this. So you can't just, you know, it's not just going to out of the box play games. You have to own some NES mm-hmm. games. But if you own NES games or you're interested in collecting old NES games, or not, I shouldn't say collecting. If you're interested in playing NES games, you know, hit up eBay, buy some games. You can put them in this system and it connects to your TV via HDMI. And a lot of the heartbreak of buying a classic NES and hooking up to an HDTV with a composite cable, and that's the yellow cable, the yellow video cable, is that mm-hmm. the NES looks awful on an HDTV, any LCD panel for that matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really work very well with modern television sets.
It's really awful. It's a terrible experience. This is not just an NES on a chip. It's an NES on a chip that plays the game in pixel perfect, pure, you know, unadulterated NES.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. So when you compare what an NES looks like connected to an HDTV with a composite cable and compare it to this thing, it's night and day. I mean, even a casual observer will notice the difference. It plays the games in several different aspect ratios. You play it square, you can play it 4:3. So if that makes any sense to you, and you can also stretch the picture to fit your screen. So it's very similar to the NES Classic. It's similar, but that thing doesn't take actual cards, and this thing does.
Right. And that thing can only run the 30 games you're built in with it, whereas this thing, it's basically a NES clone, with modern technology, so you can play all that stuff on your current TV.
And I'm not sure what the legal ramifications for them are. I think it's that the NES is, I think the patent is up. Is that correct? Do you know?
I'm not sure of the legality, but I think that usually after this amount of time, that usually it is kind of acceptable to do this sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm excited for this, and this is coming from a guy who modded an NES to play it on there.
Yeah, you're pretty hardcore.
Widescreen TV. That mod requires, let me tell you what that mod requires. That mod requires a approximately $100 chip that you need to solder into your NES. So that's not terrible. So NES, out the door, you're looking at probably about $50 for a working NES on eBay. And that includes the power adapter and a couple controllers. Then you've got this $100 chip. Now you need to learn how to solder, and you might ruin your NES in the process, which I've ruined an NES. So that's a definite drawback. And then you need an upscaler to convert the 240p signal that comes out of the NES into something that will play on your HDTV. Those upscalers can run anywhere from $100 to like $300 or $400. So all in, you could be spending as much as $500 to get an NES looking really, really good on your HDTV. And this is a $185. $185. It sounds like a lot, but honestly, if you go out and buy an NES and you hook it up to your HDTV, you're gonna want something like this to avoid the heartache and hassle of trying to get that old NES looking good on your HDTV. It's cool to run it on the original hardware, but I think it's even cooler to save yourself $300. So that's what I recommend. If you can get one, that is. These things went up for pre-order. I think they sold out of all their pre-orders. I think on RetroUSB.com you can still pre-order something, but I'm not sure when you'll get your Retro EVS.
So are you planning to get one?
I am, yes. I hate to say it. I am looking to get one only because I know in my heart of hearts that my NES will eventually give up the ghost and I want a backup. And who knows how long they're going to be making this thing. It's powered by a USB cable, whereas, you know, the NES is powered by a wall wart that if you lose it, you have to buy an old, you know, you have to buy a repro that won't work as well, or you have to buy an original that could, you know, go at any moment as well. So it's, you know, you're talking about a 30-year-old piece of hardware and you're hoping that it works for another 30 years. I'd prefer to have a brand new piece of hardware that conceivably should work well into the next 3 or 4 decades, because it's a little, you know, I don't want to say it's a little more well built, but, you know, time is on their side. It's cool. It's super cool. Check it out. It's on RetroUSB.com.
Yeah, it does sound cool. You know, I'm using my original NES that I had ever since I was a kid, and I'm running it on my my old regular non-HD TV. So I have to say, something like that does sound pretty appealing. Not sure if I'd want to plunk down $185 for it right now, but I'm very interested, and I look forward to hearing about what you think once you're able to get your own and you hook it up and you go hands-on with it.
I'll let you know. One more thing I want to note, the Retro USB AVS, there's very little latency for the nerds out there. That means, you know, you press the jump button on your controller and Mario will nearly instantaneously jump. A lot of the issues with converting an NES into a different signal is the conversion time on those frames, and displaying it on your TV could introduce milliseconds of delay. Anything more than 3 or 4 milliseconds and you're going to notice it. So this is a big deal. A few frames of lag and Mario becomes unplayable. Super Mario Brothers becomes unplayable with a little bit of latency. And if you have a TV that this thing won't work. You need to look up on the website to make sure your HDTV will work with this device, because I think there's a compatibility chart on there, on their website.
All right. Good to know. That takes care of our news section for this week, but we've got some listener letters that I would like to address now.
All right.
So our first one comes from Daniel Yoon, and this goes back to the episode we did several weeks ago about our campaign mode, our video game characters that we would consider as political nominees. And he has a few more suggestions for us.
Okay, bring it.
So the first one is King Dedede from the Kirby series. Would you back him or not?
Oh, yeah. He's huge. He's a big guy.
He's huge.
I think...
But he's a terrible leader. Like, all he wants to do is run around and eat food and stuff his face. I don't think he gives a poop about anybody else in the kingdom. I mean, he's not really that bad a guy.
No, but he's got a really cool
leader?
Amiibo.
No.
He's got a cool amiibo.
He does have a couple very cool amiibo. So if that is your top priority in a candidate, then yes. Yes, I understand backing him. Suggestion two, Prince Crom or Princess Lucina from Fire Emblem Awakening. Personally, I think either of those would be fine candidates. They are both upstanding young citizens who seem to want to do the best for their countrymen. So yeah, I would totally support them. What about you?
I'm so ashamed, but I think I've admitted this on the show. I own a Fire Emblem game and I couldn't get into it. So I can't even talk to Fire Emblem.
I thought Awakening was the one you had played.
It is. So. Yeah, I have played it. Now, played it is, you know, it's very, very loose playing. I played it for, you know, I don't know, 5 hours? I'm a bad person.
Okay, well, I'll give you a buy on that one. Moving on to his next suggestion, King Mickey from the Kingdom Hearts series. I'm going to say he is a rodent, and thus I probably wouldn't vote for him.
I forget where we left it. Were we allowing kings to be part of this political debate?
Oh, sure.
Kings.
Yeah, we're allowing anybody who's...
Self-proclaimed kings. All right.
A ruler or a politician or a monarch type figure.
Okay.
Yeah, kings were definitely allowed.
I love Mickey Mouse.
And, you know, he certainly doesn't seem like a bad character in Kingdom Hearts, but he is large, overgrown vermin, so I'm a little wary.
I love Mickey Mouse. I'll vote for him.
He has your endorsement no matter what, huh?
Yes.
His fourth suggestion... Now, this broke our rule. Our rule was basically ones that are already in, you know, political or leadership roles. But his number four suggestion was Phoenix Wright, since many politicians were or are lawyers. He says I could see him in politics later. You know, he's probably not a bad choice. Certainly, he's always trying to do the right thing. I'm going to go kill myself. although, if any of the Ace Attorney characters were going to get into politics, I certainly see Edgeworth doing
Miles
it.
Miles Edgeworth? Okay, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I mean, Phoenix would probably be like, nah, it seems like too much trouble. I don't want to do that. But Edgeworth, he seems like he's got some possible political aspirations. And both of them are good guys at heart. So I would probably endorse either of them. You have any thoughts?
Too much talking. There's too much talking in those Phoenix Wright games. So I don't want somebody just yakking my ear off. I like a decision makers. That's what we need. We need deciders. No, we don't need deciders.
They talk and then they back it up.
That's right. Well.
And his number five suggestion is Professor Layton. He notes many politicians are highly educated professors as well, and with his abilities to solve problems, he might be the best nomination yet.
Yeah, I love this. I love this one.
I kind of see him as being, you know, the same as Phoenix Wright, where he wouldn't really want a leadership role, and also, again, breaking our rule of not actually being a political character. But sure, if he decided to, I think he'd be a great choice. He is very smart. And knows what he's doing, and indeed does solve all sorts of problems. And sure, even though he is sort of a stuck-up know-it-all, he does always get things done. So yes, if he decided to do that, he would certainly have my support.
Mine too, even though he may interrupt proceedings with a puzzle even from now.
He might.
Once in a while.
He probably would. It would probably happen all the time.
Like, this debate reminds me of a puzzle.
Yes, definitely. Okay, on to our next letter. This one is from Matt H., and he has a question about the NES Classic. He asks, if it does well enough sales-wise, do you see Nintendo doing a similar thing with the Super NES or the Game Boy? If so, what games do you think they'd include?
That is a good question, Matt H. What do you think, Chris Hoffman? I got my own take on this, but before we get to my cynical answer, I want to hear yours.
Well, I don't think that Nintendo would do it, at least not anytime soon. It just doesn't really seem to be in their nature. They don't usually do things that way. When it comes to a lot of their retro stuff, they just sort of have these one ideas. It's one and done, and that's that. Like, we have the NES Remix game. Sure, there could be a Game Boy Remix or a Super NES Remix, but they haven't done anything like that. So my feeling is that they would not try it with their other classic hardware, but hopefully I'm wrong, because I would kind of like to see it.
So if they did do this, I don't think they would. I don't think they would either. Even if this thing sold millions, I still don't think they would do it with the SNES. And I hate to say it, I think an SNES version would probably cost them more than, you know, the margins would be slimmer. I think the margins would be slimmer. Mm-hmm. And I think they'd be wanting more than, what does this thing cost? $60? I think they'd be,
$60.
I think they'll want more than $60 for an SNES version. I just, you know, they're selling these.
I mean, I guess it depends on how Virtual Console does for them. If these still selling on Virtual Console for $8 a pop, and then they're going to be like, oh, well, maybe we could make a Super NES for, you know, $80. Mm. You know, would that work? I don't know.
I don't want to say never. Sure. I don't want to say never, but I bet.
Yeah, I don't either.
I bet it's going to be years before the technology is sufficiently cheap enough that they would stick an SNES in a similar case and offer up, you know, 30 SNES games. But
yeah, I agree.
I'd love to see it, but I think it's going to be years before you see it, unfortunately. And for a Game Boy version, as a guy who's been playing a lot of Game Boy recently, I don't want to be a jerk, but man, 30 good Game Boy games that have some staying power, good luck with that. I could probably pick 20, but you were digging deep with the NES on that. I think they're digging kind of deep with the Game Boy. Game Boy Advance I'd be down with, but Game Boy games were very, very simple. Even like Super Mario Land, that one does not stand up. Super Mario Land doesn't stand up. You know, Super Mario Land,
but Mario Land 2 does.
It does. That one does, for sure.
Link's Awakening does.
Mm-hmm. And
if they got, you know, third parties on board, all the Mega Man games were really, really good.
Yep. Final Fantasy Adventure was really wonderful. I'm trying to think of some others that were really, really solid.
Pokemon, obviously.
Yeah, Tetris. Can't miss Tetris.
Oh, yeah.
Gargoyle's Quest.
Yeah, that's a good one,
too. We're never going to see DuckTales. You're never going to see... there's other Capcom games in that you just wouldn't see, but...
Yeah, getting 30 great ones would be tough.
Yeah, DuckTales on the Game Boy is really solid. I mean, it's as close to the NES as you're going to get on the Game Boy.
But for Super Nintendo, of course, it would be pretty easy, I think, to do that. I mean, I think the top ones would be the titles that we were, you know, just discussing a couple of weeks ago. You know, I think Mario World, Punch-Out, Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Super Mario RPG. Mm-hmm. Those would all be, you know, obvious no-brainers right from the get-go. You know, throw in Street Fighter II, Final Fight, Mega Man X. Super Castlevania 4, Contra 3. That'd be pretty easy, I think, to do with Super Nintendo. But yeah, like you said, I don't think the technology is quite there yet. I don't think they're ready to do anything like this.
And for $60, I feel like they'd be giving away the farm there, you know.
Totally.
There's
very few.
I don't
think they would charge the same price.
No. And honestly, do you really want Pilot Wings? Because you're getting it. You probably get F-Zero.
Get Pilot Wings and F-Zero.
Yeah, you probably get Pilot Wings.
We also get Mario Kart.
Yeah, Mario Kart. All right.
But it'd be pretty awesome if they did it.
I think it would be too.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
I think it would be too.
Well, on to Matt H's second question. Would you like to see Wario Land return? If so, what changes would you like to see made to the formula? Possibly co-op with Waluigi?
I love Wario platformers, so yes, I'll sign up. I think Wario Land Shake It was a wonderful game.
Yeah.
I loved Wario Land Shake It.
Beautiful, too.
I wish that game got more love and sold more, because it's probably one of my favorite games on the whole system. I wasn't a huge fan of shaking the controller, but after you get past that, it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
I'll be honest, I've never played that much of the Wario Land series, but you know what I have played, I have enjoyed, and it does seem pretty weird that it's been on such a lengthy hiatus. So I would love to see it return as well, and I think the idea of having co-op with Waluigi is brilliant. Waluigi, he's never really gotten the chance to be a significant character in a game like that. Usually he's just, you know, a kart racer or a sports character. But to actually put him into a action platformer game and have him team up with Wario or something mm-hmm. like that, I think would be really, really fun. So I think that is a pretty ingenious idea.
I agree.
So, Nintendo, I hope you are listening to Matt H's suggestion. It sounds fun to me.
So Wario Land, Shake It, if you haven't played it, it's amazing. And unfortunately, the only way you're going to play it in North America is to buy the Wii disc. Hopefully you find it on clearance somewhere, because it's in the EU eShop and it's in the Japanese eShop, and it is not in the North American eShop. So hopefully we'll get it soon. I think that's kind of the progression. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it hits those other two eShops before we get it. But man.
Yeah, if it's over there, then we're going to get it eventually. Yeah, so it's just a matter of time.
So Japan got it on August 24th of this year. So that's pretty promising.
Oh, that was pretty recent. Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe it'll be out very, very soon. Let's cross our fingers for that.
It's worth a look. It's a beautiful game, like Rayman level of beauty. So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, it is definitely gorgeous. Our next letter comes from Kyle. And Scott, he addresses you. He says, Scott, your idea for a live-action Pokemon sounds a lot like the premise to Captain and the Game Master. Just saying.
Really?
What is your response?
Captain and the Game Master. So Captain...
He's not wrong.
Is he not wrong? So Captain and the Game Master was this terrible Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes. Yes, it was. Where Kevin gets sucked into video land
with his stupid
horrible
dog.
Representations
with his dumb...
of all your favorite characters. Yeah.
So,
and as I recall, you said that's what you thought the Pokemon live action movie should be, where someone gets sucked into the world of Pokemon.
Oh my gosh.
Do you deny
this? I don't deny it. You're right. I just gave you the plot of Captain and the Game Master. Oh, and Mother Brain. Oh man, they really ruined Mother Brain, didn't they? And
they turned her into a jive talking mama.
Simon Belmont is a dork and Mega Man's a weird, like, mutant, and, oh, they're awful. They're all awful.
I have a proposition for you, Scott.
They should just call
one
that
of these days.
It's like the Addams Family, that show.
One of these days, our big topic is going to be to sit down and have to watch episodes of this show, and then we will discuss it on this podcast.
So
what do you say?
I think that's a great idea. And we talked about possibly talking about some of our favorite collections. I want to talk about some of my shame in looking into buying some animation cells of like old video game animation series, okay. Like, you know, animated Pac-Man and stuff. I looked into Captain N cells and I couldn't pull the trigger because they're such terrible representations of the characters. Like Mother Brain looks like a piece of Swiss cheese with like lipstick. I mean, what were they thinking?
Yeah, but and King Hippo was blue.
Oh.
And he had giant nipples.
For no reason.
However, we will save this discussion right, for King Hippo's giant nipples for a later time. In the meantime, you're going to have to do something to repent for stealing your idea.
So, Kyle, yes, you are correct. I take it back. And also, if you've never seen Captain N the Game Master and you don't know what we're talking about, I guarantee you a quick look on YouTube and you can pull up some old episodes. But, man. Boy, if you as a kid were hoping to watch some cartoons about your favorite video games, you were in for a treat there. I'll tell you. I mean, it scratches the surface to say something like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show was far more true to the franchise than something like Captain and the Game Master.
And that's kind of saying a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, it is.
The second part of Kyle's question, though. I can't remember if you guys have talked about the NX code name. Do you think the name will stick or will something else take its place? What would you like to name it?
I think at this point it's got to stick. There's no way they can change the name on this thing.
I'm tending to agree
with you. They've gone too far down the road with this code name to not use it at this point. I think what did we have? Dolphin for the no, not Dol, the Revolution.
Was for
Dolphin
GameCube,
was GameCube.
And Revolution,
the Revolution
was for Wii,
which was a far better name than Wii. I gotta tell you, I would have much
in a lot of
preferred
ways, I
the Revolution. And now we've got the NX. And if Nintendo were, you know, had any sense, they would keep that name. And if they didn't have any sense, you'd be looking at the Super Wii U or the Wii U New or the Wii
we
U.
We know they're not calling it that. I'm sure they've learned that lesson.
I don't think so.
I think they have.
Somebody who owns a new 3DS disagrees.
Well, that is at least a 3DS. It's not like they made their next system and called it that. It is just an iterative name. It's a terrible name, but it is an iterative name. But I think they learned their lesson with Wii U, that for some reason too many people thought it was just an add-on tablet for your Wii. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to go that
way. Hey, listen, I was at E3 when they announced that thing, and we all had a like powwow about, is it a new thing? Is it just a controller? Is it a brand new console? So they really dropped the ball there. And I'm talking about a major outlet. This was X-Play, this was G4, this was Attack of the Show. We had like, we were all sitting in the production truck, like trying to figure out what the heck this thing is and how we were going to present it.
You should have just called me up and asked.
Yeah, we should have called you. Seriously, we probably would have gotten the straight answer. I think we reported on it correctly, but man, it was confusing. And this was to a bunch of video game journalists. So.
Yeah. So I'm not quite as convinced as you are that NX is definitely a lock. But if I had to make a guess right now, I would say, yeah, it's probably going to stick around, I think. It does seem that it's generated a lot of buzz. It does seem to have a lot of recognition. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's fairly catchy and easy to say as well. So I'm kind of thinking that, you know, it's about as solid as it can get.
Yeah.
It's got the N in there to recognize Nintendo. It's got the X in there to acknowledge that it is, you know, something
extreme.
New and different.
It's not extreme.
Wasn't going to say that.
Well,
but,
if I could name it anything I wanted, I would probably want it to be a throwback to an earlier console. I don't think we should be calling it the Famicom, but
The NEX?
Yeah, the NEX would be really cool. Yes, I think you nailed it. The NEX would be really cool. Don't you think?
That could cause a little confusion, too, especially with the NES Classic out there.
Hmm.
But there are worse names. There are definitely worse names. I think that does it for our reader mail section for this week. We do have a few more letters that we will get to in a future episode, so please keep sending those emails in. But for now, I think we're going to take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we will discuss our big topic, which is our favorite franchises then and now. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our favorite Nintendo video game franchises then and now, as in, were they better back in the olden days, in the old 8 and 16-bit days, or are they better now on our Wii and our Wii U and our 3DS and so on? So why don't we start with the King of the Hill, Nintendo's main man, everybody's favorite plumber, Mario. What do you say, Scott? Was it better way back in the day, or do you think it is better today?
Okay, that's a good question. Now, I think to get to the heart of this, we have to talk about desert island situation. You're either going to take the last, the most recent five Mario games with you, or the first five, which you had taken.
Okay, if that's how you want to think about it, sure. I think
so. I'm taking the most recent five. No doubt. The first five have decent playability, but once you play through them and master them, I know a few speedrunners out there would beg to disagree, but I feel like I'm going to get a lot more value out of the most recent five Mario games, and that includes...
Really? So Mario 3 and Mario World, you would take the newer ones over those?
I would. I hate to say it, even though I think Super Mario World is one of the best games ever made. For my sheer enjoyment, for me, you know, what am I going to enjoy playing for the next 40 years on my desert island? I don't want to keep playing Super Mario World. I'm going to play through every level with my eyes closed at this point. Not to say that that wouldn't happen in these new games, but the new games have, I think there's a lot more time could be spent playing those new games than the old games, especially Super Mario Maker, which is nearly infinite.
Oh, yeah.
Super Mario.
Yeah.
Super Mario 3D Land, Super Mario 3D World. I hope Super Mario Galaxy 2 would make that list. probably not, though. If we're talking last five, yeah, maybe. What do you think? And I'm not including Mario and Sonic go to the Olympics. I'm not including.
No.
That's not.
No, we're just talking about the Mario platformers, really. So I think I would probably have to agree with you that Mario is probably better now. As much as I do love those first four games, Mario 1 through 3 and Mario World, I just really, really love what they've done with Mario in 3D, the evolution of that series. I love the Galaxy titles. And the new Super Mario Brothers games, you know, aren't my favorite, but they are no slouches either. So just, you know, thinking about it in that perspective, yeah, I would say that as good as the old stuff is, I think I'm going to have to go with modern Mario. Just, you know, for Galaxy, if nothing else. But also, I mean, Mario 3D World, that was a really great one.
It was.
So yeah, I'm with you. I am going with better now, modern Mario.
Yeah, and it... You know, when you're playing a new Mario game, they haven't thrown out the first 10 years of Mario. It's this, I mean, it's so, it's not, I don't want to say it's derivative, but it's so, you can't remove those early Mario games from any new Mario game. It's got the mechanics and the way it feels. You're always going to have that special feeling you get, like when you first played a Super Mario game from the 80s and 90s.
Yep, this is true. Okay, moving on to our next character. How about Donkey Kong?
Go ahead, you tell me.
Well, if you look back at the old ones, you know, we've got, you know, the classic Donkey Kong Jr. arcade games. And then we had the Donkey Kong Country spin-off series, which, you know, I really, really liked that first one. The second and third ones were not bad either. Those were all, you know, really good games that brought it, you know, Donkey Kong back to the forefront. The franchise, you know, kind of cooled off for a while after Donkey Kong 64 and the DK rap. But it came back really strong with these entries on Wii and Wii U with Donkey Kong Country Returns and then Tropical Freeze. And I think it's really hard to look at these new ones and look at the old ones and say, oh, these new ones aren't like way, way, way cooler. And, you know, they look so much better. And I think things have come a long way since then. And so I think I'm going to go with modern Donkey Kong as well. I really like those current Donkey Kong Country platformers.
I agree. I think they really look nice too. And I don't want to say the mechanics because that sounds so like dorky and stuffy, but the way Donkey Kong controls in a new Donkey Kong game...
There's nothing wrong with the phrase play mechanics.
Yeah, but just the way he controls, I feel, is a lot better than the original Donkey Kong games. And you're forgetting one of my favorite Donkey Kong games, Donkey Konga Jungle Beat. What a cool way to play a Donkey Kong game. by clapping and banging on a couple of drums. It sounds ridiculous until you play it, and it becomes one of your favorite games of all time. If you have the bongos from Donkey Konga, you don't know what I'm talking about. But back in the GameCube days, there was a peripheral that was a pair of bongos that you smacked the side, it tapped the top, and you clapped above it. It had a microphone, and that controlled Donkey Kong. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, well, like my old boss used to say, we will succeed by bongos.
And you can pick up a pair of bongos on eBay super cheap. Super cheap, kids. Get yourself Donkey Konga bongos. Get yourself an old Wii, the one that plays GameCube games. You can plug the bongos into the Wii on the top, and then you can play Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. I recommend it. Put it on your list.
It's not a bad idea.
Put down Phoenix Wright and play some bongos and piss off your neighbors. It's not a quiet game. It's not a quiet.
It's not. This is true. Yeah, it's a good party game though. Mm-hmm. Okay, well then, how about The Legend of Zelda?
Oh man, I'm gonna say, I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this, but I like the old Zelda games better. And if I had a desert island, I would take first four Zelda games any day of the week.
Well, we've already confessed how much we love A Link to the Past, and that's our favorite Super NES game, and possibly, you know, one of our favorite games of all of the times. So I can understand you saying that.
How about you? Let's say, first four Zelda games or most recent four Zelda games. What are you taking?
You know, this one, it's just so hard to decide. I'm not sure I can actually give an answer to this one because, you know, on the one hand, I really love stuff like Link to the Past and Link's Awakening. And then I also still really love things like Twilight Princess. And, you know, they came back and they made A Link Between Worlds, which is basically a classic style Zelda game on modern hardware.
That's the one that would possibly sway me.
So I'm the one who came up with this topic, but I don't think I can make a decision on this one. I'm going to call it an even draw for me.
Fair enough. I would smuggle A Link Between Worlds into my desert island somehow. Oh, and seriously, if you're listening right now and you haven't played A Link Between Worlds because handheld Zelda, I'm telling you, it's one of the best Zelda games of the last 15 years.
It is a great
game. It's so great. It's so great.
Okay, then how about another one of those big franchises? Metroid. I think it's pretty clear I'm going to have to go with old school Metroid in this case.
Yep, and yeah.
Yeah, you know, we got that's original definite. Metroid, and we got Super Metroid. And Metroid 2, you know, I can kind of take it or leave it. But I would take those games any day of the week over Federation Force and Other M. And, you know, as much as I like Metroid Prime, I still prefer, you know, classic side-scrolling 2D Metroid. I also say this not hating Other M as much as a lot of people, but come on, you got to go back to the Super NES days. You got to go back to the NES, to, you know, the original. And it's like, you know, that's what this stuff is all about. Obviously, that's when that series was in its prime. See, I did it again. I'm in so much trouble.
That was really bad.
I apologize.
Yeah, but you're right.
I don't apologize.
You're right.
That's a lie. I don't even apologize.
The series was in its prime, and I think Nintendo, they don't owe us anything, okay? But I feel like I deserve...
An apology, maybe.
I deserve a 2D Metroid game that's a throwback to Super Metroid.
I can't believe it's been so
long. Oh, man. If they gave me something like A Link Between Worlds for the Metroid universe, I would lose my mind.
I think that's kind of what they were going for with Other M, but obviously it didn't quite work out the way it was supposed to.
Small little aside, I love Metroid Pinball. I love Metroid Pinball. It is
one of the best
pinball games on any handheld. Really, really good. Yeah. And there's a little rumble pack you can throw in there and feel the vibrations.
Okay, what about Kirby?
Oh, Kirby. Oh, that's a good one. What have you done for me lately, Kirby? I have greatly enjoyed Planet Robobot, but I feel like every new Kirby game just feels like a retread of old Kirby. I just feel like I'm getting the same Kirby game every time. Am I just an old man? Maybe I'm just an old man. I think I'm going to go with old Kirby.
Well, I think this time I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say that Kirby just keeps on getting better and better and more polished. When you talk about stuff like Triple Deluxe, and you talk about especially Planet Robobot, and then Kirby's Epic Yarn, Kirby Return to Dreamland. I mean, I would probably count those as my all-time favorite Kirby games alongside Superstar Ultra. And all of those have come out fairly recently. It's come a long way since his black and white roots. I mean, back in the original one, he couldn't even take people's abilities. So I'm going to say the current ones totally, because I think it really benefits from modern production values, as well as just the, you know, the evolution of the gameplay, the new features they add. So I'm going with modern Kirby for my pick.
Okay. Maybe my only big issue with Kirby is it's just too easy, and I know that's...
Well, that's,
I know
that's
true. Par for the course, and
kind of always been
that
way.
I need to be grown up about it, but oh, it's so easy. And I love Planet Robobot, but gosh, you know, the difficult thing is collecting all the things. So if you're going to be a completionist and you're playing Robobot, you're going to play each level 3 and 4 times to get all the hidden stuff. But
or
man,
just play it very meticulously.
If,
like
if
I've
you're
been
playing doing. Cat, yeah, you have to be super meticulous because, man, it is punishing when you don't get the one star that you missed, you know, and you have to go play the entire level again from the start just to get this just little hidden thing that you missed. Anyway, and the,
not
or
punishing.
The sticker.
That's a little annoying, sure.
I love those stickers. I don't know what about stickers gets me going, but man, Planet Robobot with those stickers, you got me. But yeah, the game's super easy. I am okay with that. But yeah, I would say the older Kirby games are a little more difficult, but maybe that's just my memory.
All right, fair enough. Next up on the list, how about Pokemon?
I am not the right guy to answer this. I am the exact wrong guy. I would say you need to answer this, and I'm going to bow out of this question because I should be fired from this podcast for the lack of Pokemon experience I have.
Well, the thing about Pokemon is that it is always stuck to a tried and true formula. So you play the old Pokemon games, you play the new Pokemon games, you're getting very similar experiences. But technology has come a long way. The feature set has evolved. Things have been made more convenient. Obviously, with graphics and sound, things are light years ahead. So I think this is another one where it's an easy choice to say the modern Pokemon games, just because it's pretty much the same as it was back then. Just, prettier, better, and way more robust. So I think that's an easy choice for me.
Okay. I just have a bone to pick with Pokemon on the 3DS, which is you're not using the system's key feature, which is the 3D screen. Now, I get it. You're going to put the part of the battle in 3D, but you're going to make 90% of the game in 2D for me, and it's super annoying. It's just... it's galling is what it is. It's galling. It's like I would probably play this game through if you just made the game in 3D, and which is a terrible thing to say that I'm that bought into a gimmick. But I can't be the only one out there thinking this. Anyway, don't give me a...
Yeah, I do miss the 3D in it.
Don't give me a new Pokemon game in 2016. And not have it in 3D. It's just mind-blowing. You call the system the 3DS and your game, your tentpole game for the year is in 2D. Ugh.
Well, the old games aren't in 3D either. So
yeah, well. All
just
right.
To warn you. So I'm sticking with with my pick for modern Pokemon being better than classic
Twitch,
Pokemon.
Twitch can play old Pokemon, but it hasn't yet played any new Pokemon.
Well, I guess I can't argue with that point. Okay, this one is kind of a gimme, but what about Sonic the Hedgehog?
This is a sad one. This is a sad one. I love Sonic. I think there's more people out there that love Sonic than even Sonic knows. And Sonic's had a rough go of it. But mm-hmm. and you know this, very recently, Sega has listened, which is something Nintendo needs to do once more, a little bit more than they have.
Oh, snap.
But they've listened, and what they've done is they're backing a game called Sonic Mania. And when I say they're backing it, this was a game...
isn't coming out on Nintendo hardware,
unfortunately.
That's right.
It is not. But that said...
as far as we know.
Yeah. That said, Sonic Mania is everything you'd ever want out of a Sonic 2D platformer. And it's being made by the people that love the game the most, who are... fans. So fans have created this game.
Yeah, hardcore Sonic fans that grew up playing Sonic.
So cool. So cool that a fan project gets this royalty treatment and gets to see the light of day, and we're going to all be able to enjoy this game that so many fans poured their hearts and souls into. So Sonic Mania is my one argument for saying we're going to, you know, but again, it's not going to be on a Nintendo console. I think we all have to just...
Well, it's
kind of
funny because
that,
the classic ones were not originally on Nintendo consoles either.
That's true. And so. It's funny how Sonic has become such a Nintendo fanboy you know, because he was the platform for Sonic for many years. You know, Chris Hoffman, you may kick me off this podcast for saying this. Sonic Mania may single-handedly make me say, I think now Sonic. This may be the best Sonic game ever made, and I'm not even pooping you, Chris. I'm not even pooping you. We will see, but it could be the best Sonic game that's ever been made. So we will see, but what do you think?
Well, since that game is not out until next spring, and by the way, I did... pre-order the collector's edition just for
oh record. Man, did you see all the stuff in there? And we didn't bring that up in the news because, again, not Nintendo news, but man, that is just everything a fan could possibly want in a box.
But since that's not out yet, just talking classic Sonic or modern Sonic, obviously I have to go with classic Sonic. And you know, the only way you can play those on Nintendo is through, you know, virtual console and, you know, 3D remakes and stuff. But still, it's obvious that I was going to go with classic Sonic, wouldn't you say?
It was obvious, and I'm gonna be that bad guy that says classic Sonic doesn't hold up as well as you remember.
Well, you just said you were a huge Sonic fan.
I love Sonic, but those games.
Yeah, well, why don't you marry him? I don't even know what that has to do with anything. Never mind me. Please continue.
I do love Sonic. I think Sonic, the old Sonic, alternatively very easy and then crushingly difficult. There's not a lot of like middle ground there with Sonic. And I don't know how many people have even finished a classic Sonic game. Have you, Chris Hoffman?
Of course.
All right. I don't think I've finished... Well, I have finished. I take that back. I have finished on the 3DS because it does make it a little easier with like infinite lives and save states and stuff. But that was the only way I was finishing a classic Sonic game was on my 3DS with those remakes.
Although I have to admit, the original Sonic 1, Sonic 2, and Sonic 3, I certainly never beat with all the Chaos Emeralds. That was beyond my capabilities, I have to confess. So are you picking modern Sonic then over classic Sonic?
I am, modern Sonic. And I'm not talking...
Crazy talk. Okay, one more franchise.
Okay, bring it.
Better then or better now? Mega Man.
Ooh, man.
Obviously, it's a trick question. We don't get Mega Man games anymore, so there is no Mega Man now. Obviously, the answer is Mega Man then.
It is. Yes, that is the obvious answer. And I know that's unfortunate for all of us Mega Man fans, but yep, that's the only answer. And you can relive all those with the Legacy Collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate. The only games we get these days are the collection. We got the Legacy Collection. Mm-hmm. We got the Zero Collection that came out on, I guess that was a DS game that came out several years ago. But as far as new games go, man, there really hasn't been anything since Mega Man 9 and 10. And if we were gonna count those, which did come out a while ago, I would still pick, you know, the classic Mega Mans, you know, 1, 2, 3, and 4 over Mega Mans 9 and 10, even though they were very, very good.
I play and finish Mega Man 2 and Mega Man 3 once a year, at least.
Hmm. Wow. That might be even more hardcore than me, but it's a good plan.
And every time it hits a new virtual console, I have to, of course, play it again. So.
Well, that is what suckers me in every time. So I'm looking forward to playing that again in November when it comes out on the NES Classic. All right, that wraps things up for this week's big topic. But before we finish off this week's show, I think we've still got time for a dramatic reading. This time from the back of the box of the NES game Power Punch 2. It's the year 2006. You're Mark Tough Guy Tyler, and you've just defended your heavyweight title for the 9th consecutive time. After demolishing the best boxers on the planet, it's now time to face off with the best in the universe. The Intergalactic Boxing Federation, IGBF, has invited you to go head-to-head with 12 of their greatest fighters. From metallic cyborgs to heavy-hitting mutants, you'll trade punches with opponents whose strength, stamina, and speed are like nothing you've ever seen. 9763 Borg has a hook that could level a building. Grathnox 4 has a body that isn't like a tank. It is a tank. But you are Tough Guy, a boxer whose legendary talents have brought aliens from across the cosmos to see you fight. Work out in the IGBF training ship to hone your skills to peak condition. Then, when the bell rings, show those intergalactic showboaters some real boxing, Earth style. Snap those jabs, throw those combinations, and deliver those hammer-like rights. If pure technique won't stop these sluggers, and with the best of them, it won't, get hold of those power punches. They'll guarantee to send your tin-coated opponent to the junkyard and you to a new title, Undisputed Heavyweight Champion of the Universe.
Oh boy, I would hate to have been the copywriter on that piece of poop. Man, how do you, your boss comes to you, okay, the kid, Nintendo's got this Punch-Out game. We got to make a game that's better than that. What do we do?
Well, apparently this actually started out as a sequel, a Nintendo sponsored sequel to Punch-Out. And it was going to be like Mike Tyson's Intergalactic Power Punch. But, Mike Tyson got into all this trouble. And so they're like, okay, we're going to drop that. And then I guess Nintendo saw the game. They're like, oh my God, we're definitely not going to sponsor this anymore. Because, wow, it is terrible. It's like Punch-Out if Punch-Out had no collision detection. It's, It is a mess.
It looks. Have you played it? It looks awful. No, I've never played it, but good gosh. What were they thinking?
Yeah, it doesn't look very good, and it plays worse. Yeah. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
I have no idea what to say.
And our apprentice, Luke Triton.
That's one heck of a send-off.
We will see you next time.